had gone to an asylum, and he was observing the inmates, and he saw a man in there pushing a wheelbarrow upside down. And he thought that a little strange, and he said to him, he says, I want to know why you're pushing that wheelbarrow upside down. He said, well, you think I'm crazy? He said, I pushed this thing around in here yesterday, right side up, and they kept filling it up with gravel. Now, he got smart right quick. He found out and that's the way it is in this life. You turn your wheelbarrow upside, right side up and push it around, and everybody in town will fill it up. The J.C.'s and the Kiwanis and the Lions Club will fill it up, and the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and all the women's circles and the brotherhoods and the school board of education. And before long, you'll have your wheelbarrow so heavy, all you'll end up with is a flat tire, and you won't be able to do anything. There's no saying, there's a lot of truth in it, more truth than poetry. All of God's children are willing. A few's willing to do, and the rest of them are willing to let them do. That's right. And there's just a few carrying the load in this old world today. That's right. And if you're one of these people that's always wanting to do, and you let people impose on them. Now, I'm not saying that we ought to go around with an empty wheelbarrow. No, wheelbarrow's made to be used, but at least I'm saying we ought to be selective in what we put in it and not let everybody in town load it up. And my friend, you can get so busy out here in the world until you don't have time for God's service. You don't have time to read your Bible. You don't have time to pray. And beloved, prayer is the most important thing in the life of the child of God. Tell me anything more important than prayer. Paul told Timothy that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Prayer ought to begin, every day ought to begin with prayer. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. That's a morning prayer. If it was a late night prayer after you've done everything else in the world and you decide before you go to sleep you better have a little talk with the Lord Jesus, you're not praying the prayer the Lord taught you to pray, because he taught us to pray a morning prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. If that was a late night prayer just before you turn out the light, you wouldn't be praying for your daily bread. That wouldn't make much sense. But did you know I've been so busy in the community where I live with social programs and getting involved in this conservative cause and that thing over yonder and this thing over here, until actually I have been so involved until I didn't have time to study the Word. I didn't have time to pray. And a lot of times God's children get so busy out here and get the wheelbarrow so full and loaded down they can't even go to church on Sunday morning. I'm saying, my friends, we've got to keep things in priority. And the most important thing is to follow the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do as he did, talk as he talked, and put first things first in God's service. First seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then, that's why a lot of people today are having so many emotional problems and nervous problems. They are so busy, they don't know if they're going or coming. They don't know if you're going or coming. And they're going around in circles. And a lot of us are going to be dead with old age before we've ever discovered how to live. When what we ought to be doing is living a quiet, simple, humble life and just go about doing good as we can in this life. Now, that's not an oversimplification of the Christian life, I don't think. And when our Lord would do something good, he didn't wait till CBS and NBC was there to cover it. He didn't wait till the news reporters were there and the cameras and the microphones. As a matter of fact, when he would do something good, he'd say to his disciples, don't tell anybody about it. And that's the kind of life you and I are called to live, my friend. Just bear fruit where you can. Let your light shine where you can. And do good where you can. And leave an impact in this world. You know, the life of our Lord Jesus was a wonderful life. I'm talking about his natural life on the earth. But it was a limited life. Now, I say that with great reverence and caution tonight. It was a limited life in two ways. It was limited geographically because our Lord Jesus Christ never went over 100 miles from where he was born and reared. Never did. He never left the little country of Palestine, except one time when he was a child they took him into Egypt. Geographically, our Lord Jesus Christ was very limited to a little part of this old earth. He was never seen in Rome. They never saw him in Athens. His face was never seen in America or in Africa. His life was limited geographically to a little area. Everybody here tonight traveled far greater distances than our Lord Jesus ever traveled when he was on the earth. His life was also limited chronologically to about 33 years. That's all he lived. That's a short time. I'm 34 years old. And I'll tell you, brother, 33 years have gone just like that. I'm older than our Lord was when he died on the cross, and I'm a young man. I'm real young. And I'm talking about 34 years, and I hardly know where to go. And to tell me when you get 70, it's the same way, if not worse. And our Lord Jesus didn't live but 33 years. Some of them lived 900 years in the Old Testament. I've wondered why God limited his son's life to such a short period on the earth. Why just 33 years? Why didn't God just stretch his life out across the centuries and let him live for the 20th century to see and to visit and to be with? That wasn't God's program. That wasn't his will. And oh, I know the Savior was homesick for heaven and glad to go back. What if that man could have lived? As a man, what if he could have just lived and gone about doing good? Can you imagine the impact? Wouldn't you have liked to have had him as a neighbor, as a friend who lived with you in your home? How far would you travel to see him tonight? But I want to tell you, God devised a means whereby the influence of that life could be stretched out across the centuries, so that it could be felt in every village and every hamlet and every church in the world, even here in the 20th century. How did God do it? He did it, my friends, by building a church, and he called it his church. And he's the head of that church, and the church is his body. And his church today is made up of people who have been called from nature's dark night into the marvelous light of the kingdom of God, and they've been given new natures. You are born of the Spirit of God. You have a divine nature within you, quite capable of following in his steps. Now granted, none of us can live as Jesus lived in a perfect way. Oh, no, we're going to come short every day. But you see, sheep never do go in a straight line. Sheep don't line up like soldiers and march in a straight line. There might be a sheep over here and a sheep over there and a sheep back yonder, and they might stray from the general path for a little while, but they're all going in the way of the shepherd. Tonight you may feel like a sheep out there on the outskirts of the flock, but I want to tell you, you need to be going in the direction of your shepherd. You need to be following in his steps and following his example. And I'll tell you a mighty good rule to go by tonight is this. When you are tempted, when you come to the crossroads of life, when there's a decision to be made, why not ask the question, what would my Lord do if he were in this situation? When in doubt, leave it out. That's a good motto, my friends. Young people here tonight, you are living in a very loose and immoral society, a very permissive age. We're living at a time when all restraints have been removed, and the motto of the age is, do it your way. I mentioned this morning about a coach of the Atlanta Falcons that died a while back, and they played. They had a band to come in, an orchestra, and play at his funeral, and they played, I did it my way. Now, sheep's not supposed to do it his way. A sheep's supposed to do it God's way, following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to ask yourself in sincerity, oh Lord, what would you do if you were in my condition, if you were in my situation, if this was your decision, if you were here, what would you do? Oh, my friend, that's a guiding light in a troubled world, isn't it? That's a sure beacon to keep us on course in an otherwise crazy and foolish and unwise world. Now, I want to close tonight by just going one step further. I said to you that the life of Christ was limited geographically and chronologically, but as Christ lives in us, as we imitate him, as we follow him, you can have the influence of the life of Christ here at Columbia Church day in and day out. Yes, my friends, you can have the influence of the Lord in your homes, in your nursing homes, in your hospitals, in your community, as you follow the simple life of the man of Nazareth. And now I want to close tonight by noticing in detail that life as is described to us by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2. He says to the church in all ages, let this mind be in you. What mind are we to have tonight? Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to have the mind of Christ. What was his mind? He was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Before Jesus of Nazareth was incarnate and took upon himself human flesh, he was at the right hand of the Majesty on high, equal to the Father and the Spirit. He was the eternal Son of God. He was there, my friends, in the glory of the eternities. But at the appointed time, the Bible says that he came into this world, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In order to follow Jesus Christ, you and I tonight are going to have to do three things. First of all, we're going to have to say to our Heavenly Father, I'll go where you want me to go. That's what Jesus did, isn't it? I'll go where you want me to go. Jesus said to his Father in heaven, if it's thy will that I go to earth, if it's thy will that I leave the riches and the glories of this heaven and this paradise, go down yonder to the shame and poverty of that old wicked world, I'm ready to go. And he did so, my friends. Oh, what a step down as the Savior left the throne and was made in the likeness of men and came to earth. I've heard many stories of from rags to riches. The poor boy moves to town, gets in a business, and makes a lot of money from rags to riches. You go to Nashville, and you hear a lot of rags to riches stories. A lot of boys go into town with nothing but a paper sack and their little clothes in it and a guitar on their back. And a few years later, they've sold 1 million records, and now they're going from rags to riches. Hollywood's full of people like that. Well, here is that story in reverse. From riches to rags, the Son of God came into this world. He left it all behind and came to a sinner's earth. And he didn't come down here to be born in a palace, to be wrapped in satin and silk. But my friend, who was born in an ox stall and laid in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes and lived among the poorest of the poor, he said, Father, I'll go where you want me to go. You and I tonight will never be able to serve God nor follow Jesus Christ until we have said in sincerity, I'll go where you want me to go. Every faithful preacher has got to do some going. Do you know the first two letters in the word gospel spells go? You can't spell gospel without spelling go. And every man God's ever called has got to be willing to go, my friends. And when you go, there is some leaving to do. You've got to leave the wife and the kids sometimes. You've got to make some sacrifices. You've got to leave the farm or the business behind and go. A preacher that's not willing to go in God's service won't ever be anything in God's service. And tonight you as a child of God have got to be willing to go. Maybe the Lord's burdened you and impressed you to go to this church and join you and cast your lot with these people. And you're rebelling and saying, I can't do it. I won't do it. I just can't be identified with those folks. They're too old-fogey and old-fashioned for these modern times. Look what our Lord did, my friend. He stepped down from royalty, from heaven, from a throne, to shame and poverty and finally a cross and said, I'll go where you want me to go. I tell you, I'm scared not to go and preach when the Lord impresses and the people invite. I am. Because I know, my friends, the cost that's involved. Somebody says it costs too much to serve God. Well, I'll tell you it costs to serve him, but it costs a lot more not to serve him. You listen to some that haven't served him and find out what they pay. It's so much better and easier just to do what God says to and go where he says go. Not only did our Lord say to his Father, I'll go where you want me to go, but I'll be what you want me to be. You could go where God wanted you to go and still not be willing to be what he wanted you to be, and you wouldn't be a servant. But our Lord said to his Father, I'll not only go to earth, but I'll go down there and be what you want me to be. And if it's thy will that I take upon myself a flesh and blood body like the rest of the children, then so be it. So we read in Hebrews chapter 2, for as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same. He was born of a woman, my friends. Now it is true that it was a virgin birth, but nonetheless he was born of a woman and he was a man, just like you and I are men. Now he was God, he was the God-man, he was the perfect man, no sin in his body, but he was a man. Don't you ever forget that. He could suffer as you and I suffer. His heart could bleed as ours bleed. He mourned and wept. He knew what it was to be hungry and thirsty. He was a man. He became what God wanted him to become. And I want to say to you tonight, you and I will never be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And we've said to our Heavenly Father, I'll be what you want me to be. If it's to be a preacher, I'm ready to do it. If it's to sing the old hymns, I'm ready. If it's to be a member of the church that's despised in the community, I'm ready. I'm ready to be what you want me to be. And then Jesus went a little further than that, didn't he, here in Philippians. He said, I'll do what you want me to do. And what did the Father want him to do? He wanted him to humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My friends, he went all the way. I love what John said in chapter 13 of John's Gospel, and loving his own, he loved them until the end. To the end of what, his life? He didn't get halfway up the hill of Calvary and say, my goodness, I didn't know what was going to be involved here. I didn't know the whiplashes was going to sting so. I didn't realize that they were going to spit on me and put a crown of thorns on my brow and say, Father, I've just decided this is too expensive. I want to back out. I know I've already come down here and I've already become a man, but I've about decided I'm ready to back out before we carry through this transaction all the way. Aren't you everlastingly grateful tonight he didn't say that? No, my friends, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was saying to his Father, I'll do what you want me to do. And that is a full description of following the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ and walking with him, going where he wants us to go, being what he wants us to be, doing what he wants us to do. And beloved friends, I've not always walked in this path. Oh, I've faltered along the way. I've been involved in some wretched wanderings. I've been a prodigal. I know what it is to be out of the path. I know what it is to be far away from the shepherd. I know what it is to be alone and lonely on the dark mountaintops of a wicked world. I've been out there. I'm not up here telling you tonight I've always walked in the footsteps of the flock. And I'm up here tonight to tell you that what time I've spent in that pathway have been the sweetest and most wonderful in all of my life. I'd rather take one step on this way than to walk 1,000 miles with this world and its sin. I'd rather be a doorkeeper here at this old church or a floor mat for you to clean your feet on than to be the king of this old world. This is where God's sheep belong. This is the footsteps of the flock. May God add his blessings, and I thank you for your good attention tonight. Thank you, brother.
this morning, the opportunity to be back with you for this service.